Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Ron Greer, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Hey, good evening, friends. It's Monday night, and as you know, that's Raising Expectations night. And we're so glad you tuned in tonight, and we're really glad the way you've been sharing our program and our special guests with people during the week. I keep watching some of these streaming companies, and we're up like 24% more people beginning to tune in, and we hope it just encourages and blesses you. That's what our prayer is, and that you come to know our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God wants to work in your life, and he's got a plan for you. It's all about that. So thanks for tuning in tonight. We pray for you, and we covet you as our family, part of our family. And, you know, we want to remember to pray two terrible things, not to mention other things possibly today. We want to remember the people of Mississippi with these terrible tornadoes that have gone through, and they've wreaked havoc across many states there, and particularly those that I prayed about today that I saw. Please remember to pray for those people. When a tornado hits, there's nothing you can do. And we know that God's there with them, and we've already heard testimonies of people. So we should remember to pray for them, and also to pray for the families there in Nashville, Tennessee, with the horrible shooting and thing that happened today. I do not know all the details, and you may know even more than I do at this point, but we all would want to remind you to pray for those families. This is when the peace that passes understanding that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ, oh, it just becomes a reality that we can't express in words. So as we think of those folks tonight, we'll remember them in prayer. And hey, just before we go, Ron, how about saying a prayer for those folks? Would you just a brief prayer? I've been praying, I know. And we want to mention, pray for Paul too. Paul's back with us. We'll mention that in a minute. Ron, could you just lead a brief prayer?
Sure. God, our Father, we thank you again for our relationship and our knowledge of you. Thank you that you make it known to us you are a sovereign God and you care about your people and people, period. So, Lord, we also thank you for the ability to come to you on behalf of others. And we come tonight lifting up those in Mississippi who are dealing with the destruction of the storm, and the lives, lost lives and property. And also, Lord, the terrible tragedy in Nashville, the loss of lives there. Pray that you would strengthen those and deeply involved in the circumstances, first responders, medical personnel, that you would give them courage, give them encouragement. But Lord, also mostly for the families involved and been affected, that you would give them courage, that you would strengthen their hearts, Lord, that you would bring people around them, resources around them to encourage them and lift them up as well. And for those in Mississippi, thank you for Samaritan's Purse and others who have responded, who are headed that way. Yes. Pray that you would give them great favor as well. And also that they, Lord, might be an encouragement, but most of all, that they would be a picture of Jesus to those who are there. And we thank you for what you provide and what you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Ron. Thank you, brother. All right. Hey, well, you know, we're so glad you're here with us tonight. As we think on these things, we always remind you who our team is, the most wonderful group of co-hosts you could ever imagine. They just bless my life. And every week. And we want to start again. Now we get to start on the West Coast again. And we're going to go to that great city of Lompoc, right? Lompoc, California.
Beautiful downtown Lompoc, yes.
That's right. Lompoc, north of Santa Barbara. And we've got Paul back, his voice. Boy, we've been praying for you, brother.
Thank you.
Yeah, this means yes, and this means maybe, and this means no. So if you lose your voice, yeah, we got that. Yeah, this means timeout. Say that again. And we're glad you're back. We love you, man. Dr. Hall is a is a great retired pastor and a Bible teacher. And I tell you, he's done just about everything. We've been friends for over 50 years, and he blesses all of our lives. And he's got countless people that that love this man, and we're all included in that as part of our family. So we're glad you're back, Paul.
Almost call me Pichu. There's a story there.
Yeah, we have. There's a story with that Pichu. We'll get to that one of these days. And say, that's where that comes from. It's a good one.
Yeah.
So, glad you're back, Pichu. Love you, buddy.
Thank you. You too.
And then we'll go all the way to the, and so go slow with it. So we'll go all the way back now to the southeast, the southeast. Somehow it's Maine more south than east. How am I doing, Ron? But in any event, it's getting close, brother. It's actually in Georgia, and we have two of our favorite people there, Steph Thayer and Dr. Craig Thayer, Tank Thayer. They're the most wonderful couple you're going to meet, and they do a lot of things in other places with their great family and everything. And so tonight we had Stephanie hug Tank just because she was in the same room with them for tonight's show. And see, that's really good. We like that. So I gave you another excuse for another hug. I'm helping you out there, Tank, helping you out. So they're special people. She is the founder and CEO of Quenching Wells. She's probably one of the best health specialists you'll find anywhere in the nation today. And she knows how to help you get physically well with what you eat and how you take care of yourself. But also, she loves the Lord, and she gets you in tune on your spiritual side, too, because when you're running right spiritually, you're running right physically. It takes body, soul, and spirit, the Lord working in all that to make it work. And she does an outstanding job with that, as does her husband, Dr. Tank. That's right. As we call him that. He's a trauma surgeon. He's the surgeon, you know, that they call when nobody knows what to do. And that's the guy that needs to make decisions like that. He's a very, very special man. A missionary surgeon, too. He's been on the mission field helping people. Some of the stories. You read his book now. He's a great author, too. His book is called Saved, and it tells some of the stories. And they had a program and shared with us. There you go. Shared some of these mission trips and how God's worked in his life. You make sure you check out his book, Finding God in the Ordinary Things of Life. Friends, listen, like Tank will tell you, God works in the ordinary in an extraordinary way that makes outstanding things happen. He's a great God, and he walks with us every day. And that book tells you the story about it, and we're excited about that. So we also have coming back this way, we have in the great state of Texas, holding the state together on behalf of the Lord and his call. He works with the man in the mirror and on behalf of, Ron's got this, on behalf of Raising Expectations also. Pastor Ron Greer he's run for Congress. He's done so many things in his life. God has used him in a very, very special way and continues to today in discipling and working with men and helping them to discover, you know, what God's doing in the things that they are facing and realizing that they never walk alone. God's with them. And he does a great job counseling with these men. And he's our brother in Christ. And we love you, man. We're glad you're here. Yeah, right. Yeah, that's it. So anyway, we kind of get that way, folks. If you're tuning in, like a lot of you text me, this is the family right here. And we just love one another in Jesus Christ. And we're excited about that. By the way, I would like to take you to our website later. And I want to make sure you knew about Saved, about this book that's going to tell you the story of the walk that he went down. Also want to let you know that my book is out. Legitimate faith with the story of how God brought about Raising Expectations. The pictures of the guys and the gals are in there, kind of the story of how God brought it about. I mean, it's just a miracle. We don't know how this came about, the way God worked all this out, but he's changing and touching lives. And there it is. Okay. Yeah. And you can get that now. That's in the bookstores. You can get it everywhere. You can check on Facebook and on our website, you'll find it right there. Thanks, TJ. We've got the best engineer, folks. We talk about our family. Included in that family is TJ Newsom, who is our special engineer there. And this young man is a great guy. And we love and appreciate him as we do his dad and his uncle at BBS Worldwide Radio TV. And we're blessed to be able to say that we're part of that great family. So thank you, TJ. So tonight, moving right along, we have got one of the guests that you love to have. You ask about these all the time. So we're bringing back about 25 people. We rotate them now because these are the people that really receive so many comments from you that you were blessed. And as I followed through with the context the notes coming in this week. There's just all kinds of folks looking forward to this time together. We have with us tonight Pastor Will Hobbs. I had the privilege of working with him at a large church in the Dallas area, and this guy just inspired me all the time. He's another son to me, but more than that, he's a great pastor to countless people right now, also in the thriving metropolis of Midland, Texas. If you think oil and Friday Night Lights, you think about Will Hobbs, like he told us the first time he came. And there he is right there with his precious family. And Will is a great pastor. He's going to speak to us tonight about the importance of the family. That's Laura and his wife. And are those the two most precious little girls you've ever seen? One looks like she's very calm, right, Will? And then you've got a firecracker that you've got. So one is calm and one... You know, it's interesting that she's with Lauren and she's with you, which makes it interesting. You'll have to tell us about that a little, Will. So we want you to welcome and give around the world applause. What's the name of that again, Steph? Yeah. A round of applause. We want to welcome you, Will. Welcome to Raising Expectations and welcome to your family, brother. And come on in here and share with us some. And we just look forward to having you with us. Take it away.
Thanks, Joe. Yeah, I appreciate the warm welcome. That's great. Yeah, we wanted to talk about, like the photo said, the importance of the family tonight. And so, you know, Carl Zimmerman was a professor for years at Harvard University. He wrote a magnum opus book. I mean, it's this thick. It's crazy long. And it's called Family and Civilization. Mm. And what he's finding is, and what's interesting, this is from a secular philosophical standpoint, right? Not necessarily Christian per se. And what he's finding is, I'm not saying his book is the Bible, but it's a lot of overlap between what he says and how God says how important the family is. Yeah. And he's finding that so goes the family. If you don't like thick books, here's the summary. Here's the cliff notes. Here's the extreme cliff notes. So goes the family. So goes a civilization. And it's the family unit. That's marriage and defending God's idea of marriage, not man's, and so many other things, raising good children, the next generation, things like that. So I thought this would be, Joe, you seconded that this would be an important topic to talk about tonight. And so wanted to get y'all involved in this conversation. When we talk about family, what y'all think about? There's my Texan right there coming in. So I don't know if you have any initial thoughts. I was going to jump right in if you guys don't.
I'm gonna give you a chance to jump in, because otherwise some of us get way off on this subject, because it's one of my peeves, trust me.
Yeah.
Makes my head explode.
Well, then Ron, you and I have talked about this too. Oh, sorry, go ahead, Tank.
No, I was just saying it's incredibly important.
Yeah.
I just had this conversation with a young man I'm meeting with just hour ago. It's a marital issues, and he just can't understand what's going on, and he's tired and can't understand why he keeps being attacked. Mm. And the thing is, explain to him, I think we forget the very first attack that Satan makes on mankind is on marriage and family.
Yes.
It is his very first one, and is his primary focus and primary attack is on marriage and then on families. And it has never ceased. I say it's one of those things close to my heart and my pet peeves, because being Black and having grown up in mostly in Black America, quote unquote, there's no better example of seeing what happens when with the family just disappears and disintegrates. No better example anywhere. If you go back to like 1961, 62, about 79% of all Black households were husband and wife, intact family. Fast forward where we are now. It's somewhere around, I think less than a quarter of all Black households.
Wow.
Jack and mother and father. And then you go to places like where I'm from, Wisconsin, in particular, 53206 zip code. Mm. The Census Bureau has it listed as only 7% of the households in their entire zip code.
Wow.
Intact families. The state of Wisconsin itself has the lowest intact family rate among Black families anywhere in the entire country.
I did not know that.
To this day.
Wow.
It is lower than Native Americans, who were terribly low number of intact families. But Black families, even less than that. And the one sort of, you look back and go, okay, how is that possible? Well, it's possible because somewhere back in the middle, early 60s, the government got involved in taking care of families.
Right. Yes.
And the moment they started doing that, they set all sorts of requirements that contradicted God's command and God's structure and God's plan, and they destroyed it. And every predominantly Black urban area in America to this very day is a place where a bomb's gone off.
Yes.
Anything you want to name. And that 53206 I told you about. Nice. Highest out of wedlock birth rate, women's 15 to 25 for 13 to 14 years, anywhere in the world, the highest. The highest concentration of men that are former inmates in prison, highest in the world, that one zip code. The highest rate of incarceration rate among men, young men, 53206, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, highest in the country.
Highest
gun homicide rate anywhere in the country in the first 4 to 6 months of the year. Matter of fact, during COVID, it's a 95% increase in gun homicides. No other body crime, just gun homicides. Now, if you go back to 1967, 66, 67, 68, it had one of the highest intact family rates among Black folks anywhere in the country.
Wow.
And that all changed in a matter of about 10 years.
Wow.
So so again, it's one of my pet peeves. you break up a marriage, you break up a family, and you will destroy a nation. There's no better way of destroying a nation of people except destroying family.
And Ron, there's this article I read that is, I can send it to you if you'd like. I can't recall the title right off the top of my head. Again, secular research, right? And it says toward the end of the article, in fact, this might be the last tagline. It says, if you support social justice, you support marriage. And it was incredible, just the stats in this article. Yeah. The Federalist published it. I don't remember the name of it. I'd have to look it up. I can send it to you if you haven't seen it.
That'd be good. That'd be good. I'd appreciate that.
I would like it.
Yeah, it's amazing. I read segments of it, not the whole thing, in our marriage prep class at our church called Before You Say I Do. Showing them just the importance of what they're studying, that a marriage license is so much more than just a piece of paper.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
One of our sons, the two youngest are both in high school, but they're taking dual enrollment college classes. And one of them is in sociology this semester, and he absolutely loves it. And he asked me to read what he had written and just spot check it. And it was on the nuclear family. And cohabitation and all these things. And so we're having this long conversation in the car driving on Friday. And mom, why is it, you know, if you cohabitate, you're 1.3. I said 1.3. He said 1.31, mom, times more likely to be divorced. And, you know, so we had this really good conversation about how important it is who you're picking, because the dating is a lot easier than the married part, right? Life's going to happen.
Yes.
How are you each going to handle it? And are you going to walk together? But what that looks like, because our kids are very fortunate. They don't know what it's like to be without, and they've always had a parent around. Like, they get frustrated if we have a meeting. They don't know. They've been very, very blessed, right? But how many kids don't have that?
Right.
That really deserve to have that, right? And I know so many single moms, they wanted their children to be able to be with them, not to be in the situation that we're in. And somehow our society has said that this great is great. And I was reading actually right before this, also a secular article about a lot of Americans now, and same, I just really quick scanned through it, but are not into patriotism, religion, or family. And I thought, well, look at what's happening, right? How is that working out?
That's right. That's right.
Yes.
It's not.
There's a lot of negative press out there. I would give a quick shout out to my a guy I admire, David Barton. David and Tim, his son, they're out of Aledo, Texas, and they run Wall Builders. Yeah. And so Wall Builders has a podcast, and every Friday, they have what's called, it's only Monday through Friday. It's called Good News Friday, because their point is, and I think that they're right. There's so much bad news that we're faced with, and we don't need to bury our head in the sand. Correct. Yeah. We need to know what's going on, but that hope deferred makes the heart sick. That's a scripture verse. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. It just makes you ache. It doesn't. It's good to talk about these things, and we need to talk about these things, and we are, and we will continue to do so. And with Ron and Stephanie and what you guys saying is great, but they, every Friday they say, okay, now let's walk through our stack of good news. And their stack, listen to this, they're, you might say on a federal level, things aren't going the way certain people want it to, but on the state and local level, there's so many good things happening. And there's even on the federal level starting to be some good things happening. They just had a late night prayer meeting not too long ago in the rotunda of the Capitol, some of the legislators. And so that there's God still has his people there who love people and who want to do the right thing. And so anyway, wall builders, they call it Good News Friday because every week they give you a dose of good news. And what's cool is they can't cover good news fast enough to get their stack of articles and stories and headlines to go down. In other words, it just keeps getting bigger. And so at that point, they're just saying, well, which ones do we pick? Which ones do we leave out? We don't have time to cover them all. So it's pretty cool.
Awesome. Amen. Yes.
Okay, so if we start talking about the importance of the family, there's this question. Sometimes people just run to something and they don't talk about the other angles of the situation. So right off the bat, I just want to talk about what if someone listening or watching this is saying, okay, well, we're talking about family. Well, I'm single. What about me? And maybe they're single with kids. Maybe they're even single without kids. Well, a few things about that. Number one, you may get married in the future. So this would be great information. It's obviously still important to any culture and civilization. Mm-hmm. Some of what we'll talk about, if we have time, is parenting. And so if you have kids, even if you're single, that would apply to you. Yeah. We're all called to be in community with other people. I think that's so important. And that's something we've lost over the past few years. We've gotten isolated. So some of these principles apply to anyone, even if you're not married and you don't have any kids. Mm-hmm. Also, last thing here. Just because something doesn't apply to you personally, sometimes people are listening to something and say, okay, well, I'm not in that situation right now. And they check out and they move on mentally. Uh-huh. Just because something doesn't apply to you personally does not mean that it's not helpful for you to know it, right, have thought about it, have processed it, have chewed on it mentally. So you're able to understand other people and you're able to help other people as you have the opportunities to, that you're somewhat well-equipped, that you've looked into this topic and you're able to, because Joe, you know this, you're talking about, you named one of your Bible fellowship classes, Joe, the Encouragers. Well, if you're going to encourage people and connect with them, doesn't it help to know where they are, where they're coming from and what they're going through? And so I would just say that as well. So when we talk about family, here's what we start with. I need to say this because sometimes people assume, but you can never assume. We start with a husband and a wife. That is by nature self-evident, right? If you look in nature, you see male, biological, genetic, XY chromosome male, and you see biological, genetic, XX chromosome female. There's a few rare exceptions to that, trisomy X, things like that. That's still a female, though. And so you have biological male, you have biological female, and you can look at nature itself, and the fact that they belong together in some sort of way is self-evident. Now, of course, you need to go beyond nature and nature's law to begin to talk about marriage specifically, because obviously we're not animals. We're higher than animals, right? We're a higher creation. Animals can procreate with any other animal. You know, you don't see the female dog going, hey, Butch, what's up with all these other women? You know, she doesn't know. She doesn't understand. She's not created with that high of a capacity. We are because God created us to walk together as husband and wife. So these days, sometimes it's necessary to remind people of that when we talk about family, we need to start talking with, we start with husband and wife. If any of you listening want to walk through this, it's Ephesians 5 is some of the implications we're going to walk through today. Now, there's several other passages that are wonderful about marriage. But Ephesians 5, I think, is a great place to start. So if you want to read that, it's the later part of the chapter. It walks through the role of a husband, the role of the wife, and how they complement each other so well. So let's start with the husband, okay? The husband is designed by his creator to lead his wife. Does that mean as a dominant tyrant? Absolutely not.
Well,
that's Ron, and I know Paul's giving out his gangster voice now because I think he has is it allergies and the sinus drainage, so he has that low voice. Husband's designed by his creator to lead his wife, right?
Yes.
A couple of things that this looks like from Ephesians 5. I'm giving you the Cliff Notes version here. Number one, by protecting her possible vulnerabilities.
Yes.
The scripture does talk about that. Ron, you mentioned a second ago that the first thing Satan attacked in the Garden of Eden was the family. And that's it. He's attacking one of Eve's vulnerabilities. And so many times culture takes advantage of, and many times is an understatement, all the time, takes advantage of or trashes vulnerabilities. Mm-hmm. And in scripture, what you see, this is so awesome. Those of you who know the Lord, you might already know this if you walk through scripture. Those of you who don't, you might be confused about what the Bible says, what it doesn't say. Look, the Bible is clear. God is never okay with the vulnerable in culture, be it a female who's physically weaker often, be it anything, the social outcast, anything. Zacchaeus, the short, hated by his culture and his own countrymen, tax collector who climbs the tree to see Jesus. Right. He'd fit in that category too. God is never okay with the vulnerable being trashed or abused or discarded or treated as less important.
Amen.
And so what you see in scripture is a lot of people read the Bible and it talks, for example, in Deuteronomy, it talks about Moses writes that book and he talks about divorce. Okay. A divorce is when a husband and wife are no longer husband and wife. And so people look at that and it says, if you give her a certificate of divorce and send her away, and then it gives some ground rules. And so they look at that and without the context and without the historical understanding, they look at that and they say, well, the Bible is, how is it protecting women? It's saying, if you just want to get a divorce, send your wife away. No. Throughout human history, cultures have generally trashed women. What the Bible does, it's actually the first book that does this. To a large degree, it steps back that abuse. It takes how far culture goes to trash women and wives, and it steps that back because God's not okay with that. Right. It steps it back, and it's not saying be selfish, love yourself, don't love your wife. We'll talk about that later, and send your wife out with a certificate of divorce. It's not saying that. It's saying if. There's an if statement there. If you're doing, because people were doing this anyway, they were throwing their wives out on the street. They were vulnerable. They didn't have any means of income. It was a horrible situation. And so God's stepping that violence and that lack of justice back. And he's saying, no. If you do it, at least do it this way. The certificate is designed to protect her. She can remarry. They know, hey, it's not her fault. Didn't do anything wrong. The husband just dismissed her. And so if you've seen that in a marriage, a woman being treated as less important, a woman being trashed. If you've seen that in a marriage yourself, okay, so some of you listening to this think, well, I've already seen that pattern. You need to understand that that's not God's perfect design for the home. It's actually a violation of God's perfect design, not for the woman to be trashed, for the woman to be discarded, for the woman to be treated as if she's somehow less important. Look, if you go and read the Old Testament and you look in Proverbs and you look in many other passages, it says, who can find a virtuous wife? It says her worth is far above rubies. In other words, there is no money, there is no amount of jewels, there's no amount of anything else we put value in this entire world that even comes close to how valuable God created her to be. And so, again, just be careful as you're processing through this, as you guys are looking into God's word, not to take something out of context, and that happens so often. Mm-hmm. You know, and then the second thing about the husband, he's called to lead his wife. Number one, by protecting her vulnerabilities. Number two, by sacrificing himself for her needs. Number one, protecting your vulnerabilities. Number two, sacrificing himself for her needs. That's huge. So in other words, a lot of guys say, well, the Bible in Ephesians 5 says I'm the leader. So what I say goes, and you have to basically just do whatever I say. And that's such an incomplete picture. There's so much more that Paul's saying. You are sacrificing. You're a sacrificial leader. You are a leader, but your design when I marry couples, when I do the wedding vows, I always, before the vows, I walk them through this in the ceremony for just a couple minutes. Men are called to be a leader, but they're designed to lead by finding out and then doing what's in her best interests, not his, what she needs over what he needs.
Amen.
When a wife understands that, that sacrificial sort of leadership, she becomes much more open and willing to say, wait a second, I am open to this design. There's more to this than meets the eye. And there's certainly more to this than the culture throws at us and says, this is it. The Bible says that the man is a despot, meaning despotes is the Greek word. It means, you know, lord, with where I just lord my authority over you. I walk over you, you know, kind of a thing. And that's not what's going on here. And so, for example, I throw this example out. I say, you know, guys, look, if you're the leader of the home, right? You're called to protect your home, okay? Protect your wife. If you make $30,000 a year household income and your wife wants a brand new BMW, you're the leader. The buck stops with you, right? You have to step up and say, sweetheart, we're going to be in the poorhouse. We will lose our house. We can't afford that. I love you. I want to work hard and maybe get you that later. I can't afford that right now. We can't afford that. So then you would step up and do that. What?
But I want.
But I want it. You can buy used until we can buy new, right? No, that's it. That's it. And so, okay, that's a situation that would put the family in financial jeopardy, right, Ron? So that's totally fundamentally different.
Yes.
Let me give you just one more example. She wants to live in a neighborhood in town near her friends, down the street from the coffee shop so she can go talk with her friends, right? He wants to live, this is so common, he wants to live outside of town, lots of land, no one in view for miles. Ron's giving us the thumbs up. And I want to hear the wind blow, not cars drive by. I want to hear the wind blow through the grass, not the cars drive down the road. And okay, neither one of you, let's say they're both good areas, neither one of you is going to put you in financial jeopardy. Neither one, you know, they're both viable options. The man's the leader. The buck stops with him. By the way, he consults with his wife to make a good decision, of course. Amen. So what does he lead by making sure she has? They're living in town. Why? Yeah. It's not a threat to them. It's not an issue. It's what she wants. It is not about what he wants. He's called to lead by doing what's in her best interest. So once I think people really how Jesus did, once I think how people really grasp that, what Jesus did for us, his church, and we lead our wives that way, it's a game changer.
Hence why we live where we live.
Exactly. There you go.
I have no doubt here.
Ron, did I just give your personal life illustration right now?
You did indeed. You did indeed.
You made a good spot.
Pastor, well, I just want to say, I knew the message was about family tonight, but I didn't know the depths of it. And I actually had a very similar conversation today with two women. So this is confirmation for me. So I'm scribbling down notes and I appreciate it very much because I think sometimes we get confused of what, you know, the foundation of family is a marriage and what that needs to look like for the rest of it to look like.
Yes. I'm glad you said that because Joe, I can text you my notes and then you can send it out to the team.
I'll do it.
Or email, whatever's easier. Yeah. So that way you guys have even stuff we probably won't have time to cover. You guys can have it all.
Yeah. The whole group.
Yeah, I'm fascinated by the subject matter too, because I'm telling you, I had probably an hour and a half conversation just before I got ready for the show with a young man, and I had another hour yesterday with a different young man married, and it's the same subject. And Ephesians 5, all my guys I work with, they now when I say now let's go back to Ephesians 5, and they go.
They slap their heads.
I was like, no, we got to go back there.
Yes.
Because, I mean, that the very conversation today was the same thing. Listen, you're the man, you're the husband.
Yes.
Right? It depends on you sacrificing in order for her to be the woman God wants her to be.
Mm-hmm.
But his whole thing is she's doing stuff that makes no sense, and she's purposely doing this. I'm like, okay, figure out why she does that, figure out what she needs to, and then be that person that God uses as an instrument, as
yes.
opposed to being a tool that Satan uses to keep trapping her. And yes. his whole thing is he keeps trying to tell me how unfair it is. I'm going, all right, he's a sports fan. I've never heard you say it was unfair when a school or a professional team fired a coach who had three losing seasons. Why is that unfair?
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, that makes no difference. I said, yeah, it does. They fire the coach. They don't fire the players. They fire the coach. A corporation starts losing profits for 5-6 quarters in a row. Their stock's going down. What you call it? They fire the CEO.
Exactly.
Or the officer. They don't go in and fire the workers in the factory. So it's in the household the same way. You're accountable. You're responsible to sacrifice and change. And lastly, my son and I had a little giggle yesterday. We've got some friends over because they think Ron is such a great guy. They came to celebrate my birthday and blah, blah, blah. And he was proud to tell them, well, this isn't the guy who raised me, though. I said, exactly. I'm sacrificing changing in order to be what mom wants me to be. I know, but it's confirmation. I go, okay, thanks.
Yeah.
The other important concept to me is being yoked. So imagine two of us wearing a collar around our necks together. Here we are. Hey, exactly. He wants to go right. I want to go left. How's that going to go? It ain't going to go. You got to compromise. You got to talk about it. There's got to be a discussion. And that's the great thing about being young.
And since I'm the only female on here, I kind of can say some of this stuff. I mean, you guys can all argue with me, but it's probably not very wise. We want that. We do want a leader in the home. And I actually said it yesterday. I said, I love that most of the time, 95% of the time, he doesn't care about a lot of things, what we do. But every once in a while, no, we're not doing this. This is, and I love and respect him so much more for that because I have that trust. And I know that I'm more emotional. He's looking at it from a much more logical perspective, as Ron giggles. I know, depending on the heat of the moment, that doesn't go over well. But
I wouldn't say that, but I'll let you say.
Right. We do respect that. And I know so many women that pray for their husbands to become that. So Ron's right. Ephesians 5, you got to keep getting into it.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly right. And just real quick, I didn't even have this in my notes, but you mentioned the women, Stephanie, that you were talking to and that just praying for their husbands and everything. I would point them. There's multiple passages, but I would point them to. I don't want to tell you the wrong passage. You know, I don't want to miss. I don't want to read a passage and then y'all say what?
You have all pastors just start saying it out. They're going to know it by heart. You watch.
That's right. I was going to say 1 Peter 3:7. That's toward the husband. 1 Peter 3:1-6. 1 Peter 3:1-6. That if they would go walk, that is Peter writes directly to the wife and he says, hey, when your husband, whether he's saved or not, the text doesn't say whether he's saved or not.
Right.
It just says disobeys the word. So if your husband's being a knucklehead, disobeying God's design for him, here's what you do. And it's fantastic. It fits with a lot of the Proverbs. Which we don't have time to go into, but it fits with a lot of the Proverbs that deal with a wife's tendency to control with her words when she feels out of control and like she's not being led well. And oh my goodness, you can read through the Proverbs and read those. And that's it. For example, it's better to live on the corner of a rooftop than in the house with a contentious wife.
What about a dripping faucet?
Dripping faucet. You hear that and you think, ouch. But there's more
dripping
going on
rock,
than that.
Mind you, a rock. Dripping over, wearing a rock out.
Yeah, there's more going on than that. What does it say? Better is a small morsel, just a crumb, with peace in the home than feasting when there's strife in the home. And you think, wow, that's kind of a harsh thing to say. But no, one of the things it speaks to is it speaks to the wife's tendency to try to control with the tongue or the words when she feels so out of control because he's not stepping up and doing what he's supposed to do. 1 Peter 3:1-6. Is the perfect Holy Spirit inspired solution of avenue for action for that.
Thank you.
Yeah. So I didn't even, yeah, I'm glad you said that because it made me think of that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you know, one of the things we, again, my conversation that keeps coming up with my guys is, and they all joke about it, but every time there's a conversation come up, they'll watch me. I'm listening. And then, one person will finally say, "But are you studying your wife?" So, and it's, again, as well as I harp on it, you know, you need to study your wife.
1 Peter 3:7.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And you go, why do you do that? You need to know where she is emotionally, where she is spiritually. You know, there's no such thing as that. Well, she comes out of the blue and now she wants to leave. Like, no, if it's out of the blue, you're an idiot. You haven't been paying attention.
Yes.
But I think that goes back to this sacrificial living.
Yes.
I sacrifice what it is I'm wanting and what it is I, you know, prefer to. Okay. So what is it that she's dealing with? Mm-hmm. What is it that she wants? Where is she emotionally right now? Where is she even spiritually right now? How can I, you know, be an instrument of God's use in that area? If she's struggling, how can I help in the struggling? If she's, you know, doing something well, okay, how can I, you know, help in that and help both of us?
Yeah.
But I think that too often, well, it just decides society we live in, even more so now than before. We're all indoctrinated to be self-focused constantly.
Yeah.
I'm like you with married couples. I haven't done many weddings, even though I was a pastor for a number of years. And everybody knows I'm weird. If you're not willing, first, if you're not committed Christians, I'm not doing your ceremony. Number two, if you don't go to 3 to 6 months of marital preparation that I get back to approve, I won't do the ceremony. And that's, everybody knows Pastor Greer, because it's there's some things you need to understand about what it is you're committing to.
Yes.
And if you don't understand those things, then I'm not participating in the lie here before God and the witnesses.
Yeah.
You know. So part of that is I want you to get this concept down. You are to sacrifice yourself in a way that allows God to use you to help her be the woman God wants her to be. That's your role. I'm a doormat. No, you're a thermostat.
Thermostat. That's good.
And Ron, what you're a mess. That's because you're a mess.
Yeah.
What was that, Tank?
I was going to say a practical way of what Will said. You know, men love to provide, women want to be secure. And when they're not secure, they're going to try and lead you. And they're going to say things that are going to make you feel horrible. Why aren't you providing this? Why aren't you providing that? And the reality is, women need to understand we love to provide and we're trying. And we should lead better. And secondly, men should understand that where women are coming from, they're coming from insecurity and fear. And so if the two can understand that, they can yoke together and then travel in the right direction and help each other.
Yes.
And figure out what's triggering the insecurity, the fear. That's huge. That's a great point.
Right. Absolutely. And again, if I'm watching, if I'm studying, I'll discover those things. I'm convinced that God will show you those things.
Right.
You know, over and over, because he wants to build this marriage, because he wants to build this image of his kingdom and his relationship with his church. Why would he step in and show you? You know,
God wants to build the marriage. Yes, you're right.
We got 6 minutes. Keep rolling. We got six.
God wants to build the marriage up. Satan wants to strip it apart.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And Ron, you hit the nail on the head. You mentioned something about selfishness. I think that's it. My love is either pointed. I cannot point my love both at myself and away from myself. My love is either pointed at myself, or my love is pointed out. And typically, how do I know which way it's pointed? Typically, the way it's pointed the other direction is where the accountability to an extreme comes from. In other words, the judgment. In other words, if I'm constantly ripping my spouse and tearing them down and just criticizing every little thing they do, that might be a dead giveaway that my love is aimed at myself and not them. But if instead there's an issue, there's a disagreement, whatever it is, my judgment is immediately aimed at myself. What did I do wrong? How could I have worded that better? How could I have been more patient? Whatever. That's not always, but typically that's a good indicator that my love is properly pointed at my spouse. And you cannot, and for time's sake, we may not have time to go through. I had a few Greek words in the New Testament for love and the distinctions between, there are strong distinctions sometimes between the two, the three, and there's four. There's a fourth that doesn't even occur in scripture, and how those look and how those play out in a relationship. But the bottom line is my love has to be pointed. You know, it's the old story of the guy who goes to the bar with his drinking buddies, right? And he's had a fight with his wife. And he says, hey, guys, you know, after they've had about eight, hey, guys, I'm not happy at home. And what are his buddies, drinking buddies, what do they say? I mean, inevitably, what do they say? Oh, well, then, man, you should be happy. You deserve to be happy. Well, then just get out. Move on.
Yeah.
The question that he should be asked in that very moment is your wife happy?
Right.
You know, and then he says something like, well, I'm not talking about her. I'm talking about me. Well, exactly. That's the problem. That's your issue right there. Now, should she help promote your joy and happiness in the marriage? Sure. And that's one of the Greek words in the New Testament to describes that. So this stuff is in scripture. In other words, it's not that, oh man, I should be depressed all day and not worried about me at all. No. I'm not saying that either. But my love, my choice to love someone has to be aimed out.
One of the coaches on our team, I love this, and she's also a big sports coach. She says this, when you point a finger at someone, you have three that are pointing back at you. And when she said that, I was like, oh, it's so good. Well, what are you doing? What's your that you have? Because usually your piece is, even if it's not larger, you can make change on your piece, right?
Absolutely. And we didn't have time to talk about it, but basically, we can talk about this always in the future, of course. We didn't even get too much of the wife. We did talk about wives, but just what Ephesians 5 specifically says, that the wife is designed by her creator to be a companion to her husband to do certain things as well. And they're powerful. They're not unimportant. A wife is equal in worth, equal in value, equal in the image of God.
Yes.
That God placed in her, and the value that he assigns to her is the value she has, not necessarily the value her husband sees in her. Hopefully he does, but he may not. That's not her value. Her value is based on God and how God assigned value to her. And so, you know, maybe we can obviously talk about that in the future. Equal in worth, equal in value, but distinct in role or calling.
Amen.
Something
Amen.
Special for them to do.
Amen. Amen.
Right.
Good stuff, Maynard.
Yep, very good.
What do you guys think? Joe, do we have enough time to get into the four Greek words, or do we need to go ahead and move on for tonight?
We have, we've got about three and a half minutes. Going once, take it.
Do y'all want to talk, or do you want me to do the 3-minute challenge?
Well, yeah, why don't you, we're just going to bring you back with the same stuff. That's what we're going to keep this rolling. That's what we'll
Absolutely.
Do.
Absolutely.
Us wives need a little guidance, so you got to come back.
Yes.
There you go. Yeah, that's it's something. You take these biblical principles and they're critically important. And I think the farther we get away from them, the more messed up the world becomes and the more messed up the world. It's just like guns, you know. We got to get rid of all the guns. Guns don't kill people. People kill people.
Yes.
People who don't know what this says, and no matter if you've got one given 300% and one who doesn't give a darn about it, you've got a tough thing.
Yeah,
My good friend counselors, Duncan's one of them. We kind of know him, and others. They've just said, "Boy, Joe, you know, you can sit, push all the right buttons, pull all the right strings, and boy, just trust and trust and trust." And sometimes it just, but it's right there. Scripture's right there. It's clear. But if that's why premarital things are very, very important on going through it ahead of time, understanding what it's saying. And that's why, like Steph was saying, with the boys, I hate calling them boys. They look so big now. They don't like that. You know, I'm going to say, excuse me, sir.
They're not just boys.
Yeah, they're big guys. They're great kids. But it's like they're saying, everything that goes on in the world today, we look at it. I mean, they want to do away with the church. They want to do away with the family. They want to do away with the Constitution. That pretty much sets us right back on socialism and destroys everything. So, I mean, these are key issues. So churches, like Ronald said quite often, we all talk about this, churches got to get back in this word. It can't be
teach about the family. Yes.
Teach the family. And
communism strips Communism must strip the family. It has to deconstruct the family. It has to work.
Yes. Break up the kids too. Well, now you can cover that later because you break up the kids. Yeah. Don't let the kids talk to the parents. Parents, they don't love you.
Yeah,
it's absolutely really bad, and that's why the scripture is so powerful.
Absolutely.
Well, like what you said at the very beginning, well, the XX and the XY, right? So we have a role to find, especially being an MD. There's male and female, and then and there are chimers, as we call them, and there's society is just becoming Babel.
Yeah.
Confusing terms now so much that I can't imagine my boys dating at this point. I mean, just to have to ask, well, what are you?
Yeah.
It's getting so bad.
No, that's a knife.
Yeah. So this is aging myself. My grandfather used to tell me stories, and he always liked to get me riled up, and he would be telling, and he'd say, well, when I was a little girl, on and on, and I start giggling, Grandpa, you were never a little girl. And he'd laugh. He'd go, no, I was. And he'd keep telling his story because it was so ludicrous. It was so, me as a 4-year-old knew, what are you talking about? You were never a little girl,
You saw the truth is evident in nature.
Life of Brian, Monty Python's Life of Brian.
Good reference.
Yeah.
I think it was Franklin Graham or Billy Graham that said God's going to do something pretty soon, or he's going to have to say he's sorry to Sodom and Gomorrah. Steph, could you, I want you to know your husband did a great job the last 2 weeks. He was phenomenal. Yeah. So I know he had good coaching, but
inspired. I was inspired.
It's really important. It's getting pricey in there. If anybody can help us, that'd be great. Go ahead, Steph, real quick.
Sure. Absolutely. We thank you so much for taking the time to just be with us. Obviously we're going to have Will back because we just
cracked
the surface. And you can get any past shows. You can listen live. You can listen to recordings all at our website, bbsradio.com/raising expectations. We're also on all the major platforms. You can find us. You can learn about each of the co-hosts here, follow along with us on different social media platforms. And we love and appreciate any donation that you can give. We have a little yellow donation button at the top. By the way, did you know that's why Amazon has that color for buy? It is the color that makes you buy the most. So it's also the donation color. So think about that when you give your $500. And if you're having any problems with that or you don't want to give in a digital way, you can contact Pastor Joe directly and there's instructions on how to do that. So we're just so grateful for you guys as listeners and as supporters, because obviously we don't have a show without you.
That's right.
And as I said last week, Joe likes to be called at 2:00 in the morning. So,
Not sure. Oh, yeah. And then you got to go get Pastor Joe's new book. We have it.
Oh, great. Thank you, Ed. That's great. Got both. They're right there on the website. Tank's book, they're saved. And Faith, I think you'll find it to be a story that'll fit in with where Will's leading, the importance of these things. And, hope you'll look into that. Absolutely. Will, we're getting you back. I'll call you and double check back to you and get you set up, brother, and get you back in here with us again. All those in favor say aye. Aye. There we go. It's unanimous. You just won a unanimous call. Okay.
Sounds good, Joe.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Will. We love and appreciate you, brother. And I've got, it says, hey, 1 minute, we're rich. But anyway, everybody, tell your friends, and you can look in this and find it, like Steph said, on the website and go down to the archives. The story is there, and you can find this show on Facebook, on LinkedIn, YouTube. There's Twitter, and there's another one. I lost it. Anyway, there's five. So anyway, you can find it on there somewhere.
LinkedIn, YouTube.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm so quick at these things. Anyway,
there's a billion places. To your popular
one. If you want to get the pod, go to Amazon Podcast. You can listen while I go down the radio on it. But all right, folks, thanks for tuning in tonight. We're so, as we said in the beginning, we're praying for you, our folks in Tennessee and in Mississippi. And we'll be back with Pastor Hobbs. He'll be with us, and it's going to be a really great time. Give your wife and your family, those precious daughters, a big hug for all of us. And Remember to pray for Will as he pastors there and works and teaches there at Kelview Heights Baptist Church. And let's remember him also. All right. Thank you. On behalf of everybody, all of us, we can all say so long and we'll see you really soon. Paul, it's so good to see you. Now it looks normal again. And Steph, good. Yeah. It's good to see you over there too. Yeah. The family's back intact. That's it. That's a good one. That's a good song. Back intact. I like that. Write that down. Okay. All right, folks. We'll see you next week. Thanks for tuning into your show with your family and your team and your Lord Jesus Christ. Raising expectations. Let him do that for you, starting right now and through the week. And hang on to your hat and watch what he'll do. Thanks for tuning in tonight. God bless you all.
God bless you guys.
Thank you, guys.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556, or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.